The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
At the end of the day, money is the most important element of any economy and any society. So it's wonderful and it's ideal at the top. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't, you know, some issues that need to be considered going forward.
And, yeah, it seems like there's a lot of hocus pocus and smoke and mirrors behind the scenes with the cryptocurrencies.
Well, you know, it's obviously a totally unregulated market. And obviously, regulation doesn't always mean good. Sometimes it's used to the benefit of those in power. But it is a Wild West, and you don't know exactly what you're getting into. Even the most well-known, right, Bitcoin, mm-hmm. it's still not completely understood. And then there's the zealots who, you know, you can't even raise, you know, a question without, you know, being attacked and, you know, being called your technophobe or something.
Right.
And, you know, at the end of the day, these are still technologies, and they still have a lot of the inherent challenges that technology has. I mean, even Bitcoin had a scaling issue not too long ago. So, you know, that has its own problems. But, you know, as far as being a medium of exchange, a way of transferring money outside of like the established systems like SWIFT, which are really very expensive and still cumbersome, it poses a lot of, you know, it's a lot of great opportunity. So the platform and the technologies are here to stay. They're going to manifest themselves in different ways. But if I'm just going to say on a high level, right, the Bitcoins and the cryptocurrencies are running free right now, and that's great. And you see the prices going up. But two things. Governments are going to want to get into the digital money market for completely different reasons, more of a control issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a war. They are not going to relinquish the control of money that easily. And I believe that a lot of individuals think that the ability to operate on the internet is a lot more free from interference from, you know, powerful nation states than really is there.
So what we have here is digital currencies, and then we have cryptocurrencies. And a digital currency could just be if the U.S. were to go cashless society, where it's all just numbers. A dollar is still a dollar, but it's all numbers in a computer, as opposed to me handing that piece of paper that says, you know, $1 and George Washington on's picture on it, whatever. Whereas the cryptocurrencies are based on the algorithms, right? That's kind of the difference.
Yes. I mean, it's for the average person, you know, that is a very nuanced difference but a functional perspective. Yeah, they're different there. I mean, in some respects, we're almost a cashless society now.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of transactions that actually happen with cash are very minimal. But, you know, still there's that little like last refuge of technical freedom here where you say, look, if I'm totally, you know, not satisfied with the system, I'll just withdraw my money in cash from the bank. Of course, it's quite difficult to do now in any denominations greater than 3,000, but it's still there. The goal to move to a totally digital and actually become a little more, you know, sophisticated than what we have now would empower the government. I mean, to really track everything you do, you know, collect taxes. And, you know, the biggest fear is that dystopian where, you know, you could be shut out of the system if, you know, you're deemed, you know, not in favor.
You would not be able to trade, do business at all. You wouldn't even be able to buy food if they wanted to, if they had that level of control. That would be the fear.
Absolutely. And I can recall something from 15, 18 years ago when they would release the Fed minutes. If you know, there's a delay and they released the Fed minute. And the Fed talked about at that time putting a time value on money. Not many people remember this. And what they meant by that is you would be, say, paid your X amount of dollars at the end of the week. If you didn't spend that money within a certain period of time, it would lose its value. So
wow.
It's like inflation without raising the price of items on the shelf, just taking away your money. Now, you see, that just puts you become just a consuming slave, right? You're issued your money and you say, unless I spend it all now, you know, they're going to take it away from me anyway. So, you know, the way people would behave in a hyperinflation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that would end the ability for a person to kind of build personal wealth and, you know, any sort of what we'll call economic freedom. So those thoughts couldn't be come to fruition without something like digital currency.
Wow, so, I wasn't aware of that. That's pretty scary. That's interesting.
Yes, so my thing is I think the big challenge, and it's not immediate, right? And therefore, you can also be a little diluted, is the challenge to the cryptocurrencies is going to be when that battle comes between the sovereigns, the nation states, you know, the central banks, and the, we'll call it the free market crypto world. And that is down the pike. I mean, you hear rumblings now, right? You hear China saying, you know, they're going to outlaw initial coin offerings. You also hear about the SEC and the IRS coming up with decisions of what exactly is cryptocurrency and what is your tax liability. I think, you know, we'd also admit that you run the risk if you're making profits trading cryptos and thinking that you are outside of, you know, any oversight, that you're not liable for any capital gains. And that's a risky position to take.
Let's talk a little bit about precious metal right now. The nice thing about precious metals, it's a commodity. I mean, you're still talking something tangible that you can trade that has value. It will have some sort of value. How are precious metals doing right now, and what do you think they're going to do in the near future?
So precious metals are doing well, and I think a lot of people miss that if they were to step back, the precious metals, and we'll just talk gold as their, okay, as their representative right now, went into a secular bull market in 2001. And if you look at the chart, I know there's a lot of people that invested in precious metals, and because of the 3-year pullback, you know, which ended in the end of 2015, they were totally dispirited. And we know that there's interference in the markets, and they conveniently get knocked down once, you know, enthusiasm and momentum builds. But if you step back, it is a classic three-leg pattern. We ran from 2001 to 2012, from 255 an ounce to virtually 1900. Did a classic 50% pullback, which ended in December of 2015, and have been climbing ever since. So that first leg was 2001 to 12. Second leg down, which you have within a secular bull market, you have a cyclical bear. That was 2012 to 15, basically. And now we're on the next leg up. So the precious metals are what looks to us, or me, as a classic secular bull market. And if you know what that entails, that means the third leg is always the biggest and most robust to the upside. So we think they're ideal. I know people say Bitcoin or cryptos are the new gold. They're not. The only thing that they have in common is they're considered outliers to the established systems.
Right.
But beyond that, there's no commonality. I mean, one is physical. You can hold in your hand and walk away and hide. The other exists solely in cyberspace and has all the risks associated with that. The other, you know, even Bitcoin needed some work to help it scale, which means you need maintenance, like software.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gold from 5,000 years ago is still gold. No maintenance, it's hitting the ground. So my point is, you know, gold has, you know, resistance lines. You know, people will look at charts. So therefore, there's, you know, like people worry, will it be able to break this resistance? And granted, Bitcoin doesn't have any history. So there is no resistance. There are no old charts people are pulling out. So it's just kind of upward and onward. But they're distinctly different. Cryptocurrency and Bitcoin is not the new gold. I'm not saying that you don't, you know, if you feel inclined to take a position in crypto, but just be aware of some of the risks,
yeah,
you know, especially going out.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, yeah, you could be successful investing in it. Bitcoin could have a great future, but you're right, it is not gold. There is a difference, and the fact that gold is tangible and is a commodity, you're absolutely right, is it's likely always going to have value.
And that's correct. And how, you know, it's had a 5,000 track year of value.
Mm-hmm.
It's come through every crisis. There's never been a crisis where gold got diminished. I mean, and I would think probably many listeners, you know, it's kind of palpable that regardless of what statistics may come out, you know, there's real macroeconomic and geopolitical headwinds in front of us.
Awesome.
And that's kind of the reason gold's rising too. It's forward looking.
So NeptuneGlobal.com is where they can, is your website, and at NeptuneGlobal on Twitter. Is that right?
That's correct. NeptuneGlobal.com, right? We're, there's a lot of tools there.
Okay.
You mentioned the PMC ounce. That's a physical precious, a diversified physical precious metals investment, trades in real time. Customer basically has all good delivery bullion, and then it has a patent. And so it really kind of meets, you know, instead of going down the path of an ETF or a fund for what's perceived as ease of trade, but really kind of still entering into that counterparty risk associated with an exchange traded product or fund, the PMC is not that. It's basically the metal is in the customer's name at the depository level. So
awesome.
It's unique. You know, and we basically did it to help serve a world out there that says, look, I want a tangible asset that's outside the system, you know, and has a track record, but I want it to be maybe a little more, we'll call it contemporary.
Sure.
Than maybe just the traditional forms of, you know, buying a coin and holding it in your house.
Awesome. So, well, I just tweeted out a link to both of those, and hopefully people will check it out. Chris, thanks so much for the information today, buddy. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Knowledge is power. Tweet at us with the hashtag #WhatILearnedToday. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.